The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast here on this Monday morning. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with Derek McGovern and Ron Atkinson on the line to look ahead to a couple of midweek FA Cup third round replays, the ones involving the Premier League sides. But first, a bit of a reflection on what we've seen over the weekend, chaps. Good morning to both Ron and Derek.
Good morning, Dave.
Fun weekend in the Premier League, as long as you're not a bookmaker. our PR man, Rupert Adams, said that it's been a black armband weekend for the bookmakers, Derek. I can almost see you playing that little violin right now.
Yes, my piles bleed for Hills and all the other bookies. Dear me, how many weeks have they had it on their side? And we get one, and I know we hear them as whinge. Come on, lads, give us a chance. Give the punters a chance.
Rupert Adams went on to say that he's looking forward to trying to win it back next weekend, which is usually the case.
Yeah, oh, that's a certainty. I mean, losses are only loaned, is what the bookmakers say, and how true that is. But it was a great weekend for punters. Every good thing went in, didn't it, really, apart from the ones I tipped.
Yeah, all those top spots landed. Away from the betting, really good weekend in the Premier League. The big talking point this weekend was Cheick Tiote's wonder strike being ruled out for Newcastle, Ron, by Mike Jones. What did you make of that incident?
Well, yeah, I can understand under the current climate of sort of non-active areas. I can't see how you can stand in the middle of a six-yard box during an attack and be in a non-active area.
That's middle of one, was he? He was basically on the post, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't. He was off a bit. I mean, Hart could quite conceivably, he'd be stretching it at a point, think he was going to glance the header in. You know, he ain't going to get near the shot. Anyway, it's going to take his hands off if he does. But I'd still believe, and I remember a famous quote from Shanks years ago saying, if you're not interfering with play, you shouldn't be on the field. Now, I know the ruling's changed since then, but I honestly think to save any sort of indecision from anybody, I think if you're in the six-yard box, in between the sticks, you've got to be interfering with play somehow. It's unfortunate, but wonder strike, but that would be my ruling on it. But I think under the current climate, he's very unlucky to have it chalked off. Mm. I think 7 out of 10 may have overruled the linesman there. Maybe 8 out of 10.
Speaking of wonder strikes, Jason Puncheon took the world's best worst penalty ever at the weekend as well.
It was as if he took that blindfold, you know, as a dare, you know, as some sort of a game show stunt, take a penalty blindfold. It was the worst penalty I've ever seen.
Let me tell you what. In my testimonial, Rodney Marsh took one blindfold and scored, did he?
Who was in goal, Joe Hart?
it was a plum, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolute corker.
Did Beckham take one, not too dissimilar, in Turkey once?
Yeah, he did.
It wouldn't quite be as bad as that, but it was getting towards it. Yeah, without a shadow of doubt, for anything that was blasted, that's got to be the worst ever, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I know, well, there's also the Chris Waddle one, that's still in orbit, that one.
Yeah. And there was the Pires. Oh, yeah. It was a little tricky one.
Oh, yeah. That was priceless. That one.
And they tried the trick pot one, yeah.
Chaps, as far as the title race is concerned, very little's changed this weekend. Arsenal away at Villa this evening, and you've previewed that game already on the weekend's punt. Arsenal 8-15 to win that match. And if you want to listen to that preview, you can do by going to last weekend's punt. Man City still even money to win the title. Chelsea 11-4, Arsenal 9-2, Liverpool 7s, Manchester United 20-1, Everton and Tottenham both quoted at 66-1. Manchester City, as we've just mentioned, won at Newcastle, and Chelsea got their fourth straight league win with an impressive performance at Hull, Ron. Yeah. And Fernando Torres is looking like he's starting to get his mojo back.
Yeah, well, I would hope so, because Derek and I, over the years, or over the last year anyway, 18 months, have had mixed views on him. I thought when he was at Liverpool, he was arguably the best centre-forward in Europe. He had an injury, which I think has taken a lot away from him, and then you get the confidence factor from going there for big money and not really producing. But there have been signs this season that he's, he's approaching something like his best form. If he does, I think he will be vital for Chelsea's hopes. I look at Eto, but yeah, they're okay. But they need, we've said for a long time now, they need an absolute sharp player at the point of the attack. And if he can maintain that form, he gives them a hell of a chance of winning the title.
Yeah, they've got a lot of players in behind him, haven't they, as well, with Willian and Eden Hazard and Oscar. They've got a very strong team going forward anyway.
Yeah, they've got a different sort of side to the one that Mourinho had years ago when he won it 2 years on the bounce. That was very pragmatic with two flying wingers, Robin and Duff, and of course Drogba up front could win games off his own bat. It's a different type of one now. They got almost two or three lightweight. I mean, when you consider Mata can't get in that team, and I'm a massive Mata fan. You have to say they've got oodles of sort of ability in there. What do you think of that, Derek? I see that John Terry has sort of... there's been a lot of hints this weekend that he's prepared to play for England again.
Is that right? Yeah, yeah.
There's been a lot of hints on that. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, he's way past his best, John Terry, isn't he? I mean, but the thing is, we're not exactly covered with riches at the back, are we? I mean, there isn't... You can't name England's best two centre-halves at the moment, can you? You
know, there's a lot of talk about, because the way him and Cahill all of a sudden look as if they're Mourinho's first choice now. I mean, there was a little bit of messing about early on. He didn't get the impression Mourinho was totally convinced about Cahill, but he looks as if he's now put that as a settled partnership. Whether that might just be something they could take into the England team.
Yeah, you're still getting, I think Hills are still going big prices, aren't they, Dave, about Terry being in the World Cup squad? I think I saw 10-1 last time I looked.
Yeah, I'll just check that price now, because we have got those prices under the specials market. I'm sure it probably has been backed, because as Ron was saying, they look to be, they're a ready-made partnership, aren't they, Terry and Cahill?
Yeah.
Still 10-1 though to make the England 2014 World Cup squad, if you look under the special section of the football page on the William Hill website.
There's too much history.
We're not endowed with central defenders, though, are we? You know, that you could. I think Jagielka's had a very, very good season. Mm. But we're not over-endowed, are we, with people that you'd say, all right, say something happens to Jagielka. I mean, he just had an injury that they thought was going to be a lot longer. Who are the logical people that come in? There's not knocking on the door. Leska, who's in the frame, doesn't get a regular place now. Dawson doesn't look as if he'd be a good World Cup player.
No, he looks a bit slow, doesn't he, Dawson?
Yeah, Dawson won't be in it. I can't believe he'll be in it, Terry, because there's too much baggage around him, and there's too much history between him and the FA and England management. I just can't see it happening. But who knows? A couple of injuries, the centre-halves might pick up, and he'll be back into it.
The other thing is, Derek, of course, when there was, I think there was some anti stuff with Bernstein, wasn't there, when he was.
Yeah.
But now Dyke's in that position, you never know.
From a betting standpoint, Derek, Liverpool in the betting at 7-1 for the title, 5 points behind Manchester City. And with Suarez and Sturridge now fit and ready to go, obviously, they're giving a glimpse as to what Liverpool fans can expect in the forthcoming months if both of them stay fit.
Well, Liverpool now, which is fantastic to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember, it wasn't so long ago when Roy Hodgson was in charge, and they were an absolute joke, Liverpool. But now they're fantastic to watch. The worry, of course, is that if you're conceding 3 goals against Stoke, you know, something's not quite right at the back, isn't it? But it's like you score 4, we'll score 5. They're not going to win the league, Liverpool. We're finishing 4th will be an achievement. Mm. Because they're not going to catch Man City. There's 5 points behind Man City. Liverpool are not going to overhaul that kind of gap. But so, in fact, that 7-1 is probably the worst bet of all time to win the league. But I have to say also, in the top four betting, that's probably more realistic, obviously. They're in fourth at the moment. They're 4-6.
Mm.
And Tottenham, I think, is something like 3-1. Did I see a 3-1 around for that? And I have to say, you know...
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah. I really can't see why there's that much of a difference between them. What, 2 points? 2 points is the gap. I mean, what's 2 points, you know, for sides at the top end of the table when they're picking up wins left, right and centre? And if you look at Tottenham's last six fixtures, they've got a tricky March or April thing. Well, in a tricky March, your last six fixtures, April and May, I can't see them picking up anything less than 16 points. They've got an absolute gift of a run in Tottenham. So if they can hang tough over the next, you know, the next month or so, they're still in the running. I think they'll be a great bet to finish in the top four. You know, I think they're the only shade of value in that market.
What? If you remember, Derek, a few weeks ago, I said I fancied Liverpool to be in there because they didn't have any other commitments. They're at the League Cup, no European commitments. They could just plan week to week. Okay, the FA Cup's coming up, and I've tipped them to win the FA Cup. I think they're a decent bet for that. Weren't particularly great odds, but a decent bet. Do you know what I think their only danger for the fourth spot is? I know it sounds daft, and I take on board everything you've said about Tottenham. Man United.
13-8, Manchester United.
I think Man United are their biggest threat for the fourth spot.
I know that
will get Gore forward down the phone now. but I could see Man United going off on a run and chasing that fourth spot. But don't forget, very shortly now, the three at the top, we're all going to get into the European matches.
Yeah. Well, you know, people seem to suggest that Arsenal are in third, they're home and hosed. But they've got the Villa game tonight, of course. This is Monday night. You know, I don't see. I think Arsenal could easily be picked for the fourth spot. You know, I think the first two, those two places, already sorted, City and Chelsea. But third and fourth, you know, Arsenal are no guarantee to be in there. And you know, there's a stage, and I think it's about March, when Arsenal play Tottenham, Chelsea, Man City, and Everton, as well as the Bayern Munich game, all in succession.
Yeah.
That's in March. Now, that's a run of fixtures that could, you know, make or break their season. I suggest it's going to break their season. They've got some tough fixtures to come with the Gunners.
Well, yeah, I think they'll be in the frame, Derek. I do, honestly. You know, I think the three you've got there now are going to be the three.
Ron, do you think David Moyes will be active in this transfer window?
I think he should do something. I think, all right, there's that suggestion that you can't buy the players you want at this stage because most of them with the big clubs are involved in European runs and things like that. But I think he should freshen it up. I tell you, I've said all along, you look around, I'd go for Kabay at Newcastle. That's somebody I'd try and get out of there because he looks as if you can get him, the right price. He's 25 years of age. If he has 2 years there and they replace him with better players, they can still get good money back for him. I think he badly needs to freshen up. You know, he needs to give it says something to the team if he can bring somebody in. It perks a few of them up in there. And there's a few, I think, are going through his emotions or not bang at it. It perks them up. And it gives you a little bit of fresh impetus towards the end of the season. And Kabay's not European tied either.
Yeah, and you look at that midfield that Manchester United are playing with at the moment, and a lot of people comparing it with Chelsea's midfield and Manchester City's midfield. I don't think there are any players that you'll slot in from that first team into a Chelsea or Manchester City side at the moment.
You know what? I think I posed this question last week, didn't I, Derek? Where I said, tell me how many United midfield players would get in either of those teams.
Yeah.
Or Arsenal.
Or Fulham. Or West Ham.
Hang about a bit.
There's nothing in that United midfield that's going to scare anybody. And there's still no date for Van Persie's comeback yet.
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, they're very reliant upon the two top players.
Yeah. And that's why I can't see them finishing the top four, and I just don't see it. 11 games they've won. They've only, 21 games they've only won 11.
But do you notice something again, Derek? Did you watch the game on Saturday?
Yeah.
They were ordinary first half. As soon as it's amazing what happens when you score a goal. All of a sudden, they looked a different team once they got that goal, and they played with a lot of freedom, a lot of flair and all that, which prior to that you hadn't seen. They were playing with the handbrakes on. And he only needs a couple of good results to get the ball rolling again. But, getting back to your original question, I definitely think they've got to freshen up.
Yeah. As far as the relegation battle is concerned, Crystal Palace 1-2 to be relegated, Cardiff 10-11, Fulham 11-10, Sunderland 6-5 in the relegation market, West Ham 2-1 to go down now, Norwich 5-2, and it's 5-1 Bar. Big wins for West Ham and Sunderland away at Cardiff and Fulham, respectively. Ron, big performances there, especially from West Ham, given that Sam Allardyce's position had come under immense scrutiny in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as convinced as a lot of people are that Sam's in as much danger as everybody else seems to think, that he's a knocking bet to be the first manager to go. I don't buy into that too much because of the owners. I think the owners are quite solid behind him. Who would go out of that? It's a toss-up. I mean, are Hull completely safe?
They're only 5 points above the relegation.
You know, I look at a few of those teams, Glass Mountain Jobs and things like that. I mean, Villa tonight, Villa got beaten, Albion aren't clear. You know, there's a lot of teams. There's hope for the bottom three. You've just seen two teams climb out the bottom three this weekend, haven't you? Didn't West Ham and Sunderland have both climbed out? Now, a few weeks ago, you'd have been looking at, you know, that thing at Christmas, you bottom of the league by Christmas, you go down. But you're looking at it and you think, well, it. I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. I think you've got any one of 10 could go down, or any 3 of 10 could go down.
Any of 11 on the bottom 11. There's no mid-table. Yeah. There's no. Yeah. It's just like the top half and then the bottom half. There's nobody out that 11 out of safe. Man United's win at the weekend's probably kept them safe. But why would you back? Why would you back? Like, Palace are 1-2. Now, I'm not, you know, I think Palace have got a bit more about them than several teams down there. I wouldn't touch that with a barge pole. And why would you, anyway? Why would you back a team at 1-2 with the way the bottom, you know, the bottom half is shaped like it is? Anybody could be dragged in. If I'm going to have a bet on the teams to go down, I want a decent price. I still think West Ham are in big, big trouble, by the way. Yeah. I don't see anything from them. Fulham, the way they're shaping, they've got to come into it. And Cardiff, if they can't put a home to a West Ham side who are there for the taking and they're losing 2-0, you've got to worry about them as well. But my money's still on Sunderland, by the way. I've had a few bob on them to finish bottom. But that was a bit of a worry, that performance at Fulham. But Fulham, you know, they are sensationally bad results for Cardiff and Fulham. At home to your relegation rivals and being pasted by them both.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to worry about that.
Yeah.
We'll come on to Fulham now because they're in action in the FA Cup on Tuesday night against Norwich. Full range of third round replays. We're going to take a look at the two matches involving the Premier League sides, and Fulham at home to Norwich, 5-4 Fulham. The draw is 11-5, and Norwich in the betting at 23-10. These two sides drew 1-1 at Carrow Road, and only a point separates the two sides in the league as well. In all likelihood, they'll be both fighting for their lives at the end of the season, and Fulham come into this game off the back of that performance we referenced at home against Sunderland. Norwich haven't won a game since early December. Derek, two poor sides here that will be later on in the season focused on survival.
Yeah. You know, you're looking for something. You're looking for clues here, and maybe the weekend fixes might tell us something. Fulham are away at Arsenal, so they've probably given up the ghost on that already. And Norwich are at home to Hull. Now, will that loom larger in their thoughts than this fixture here? I don't know. It's difficult. But one thing I would say is that you wouldn't be backing Fulham at short odds. This is a team that used to be reliable at home. I mean, you know, some big scalps they claimed at Craven Cottage, but they've won only 3 of 11 games at the Cottage this season. That's poor, poor form. In fact, they've won as many away as they have at home. They're coming here on the back of a 4-1 pacing by Sunderland, who are bottom. You know, what's that going to do for confidence? As long as they keep playing the Bulgarian somnambulist up front, you know, I'll be ready to oppose them.
Because, Sam who?
I'm opposing Fulham. I think there's a bit more to come from Norwich, you know. I think they've got a little bit about them, Norwich. And I just don't see that with Fulham. I'm going to go for an away win here.
23-10, Norwich to win at Craven Cottage. Ron, what do you make of this?
I'm going to go for Fulham simply and purely because I think the two teams, both teams will now be more interested in staying up than progressing in the cup. Drives me up the wall that, but they will be. And I think Norwich coming away from home, away from their home fans, might just have less interest. What I would suggest is you wait and see what sort of lineups both teams put up. I think that's an important one on this. I think they'll tell you an awful lot about the motivation for both sides, the lineups.
You say it drives you up the wall. Teams and managers focusing on the league. That's something that Sam Allardyce has done and openly admitted as well, Ron.
Yeah, well, but to be fair, he got left in a cleft stick with a lot of injuries. I still don't. Have a look. Just reverse the situation a little bit. This time last week, or just before this time last week, Sunderland were plumb bottom of the league, looking as if they hadn't got a prayer. They beat Carlisle on the Sunday. They then play Man United in the semi-final and beat them. And all of a sudden, they've carried that form into the Saturdays. And, yeah. You know, I think there's nothing... They keep saying losing's a bad habit, so is getting results, winning or drawing, a good habit. And I think Sunderland have benefited by those two previous results, you know.
Mm.
I mean, you look, for argument's sake, 10 days ago, Adam Johnson, I'm reading reports where they'd sell him to Fulham or something like that.
Yeah.
They'd get 400 million for him after Saturday, wouldn't they? Fulham. You know, but all of a sudden he's had a spark. He came on in the cup match, got his game going, and all of a sudden he's the man of the moment for them. I think sometimes teams, that's too easy out to say we're weakened down, and we're deliberately. It's a ready-made excuse. I think players, and Derek's heard me say this many times, players can cope with games if they're getting good results.
Yeah. Fulham 5-4 to win on Tuesday evening. The draw 5-4, at 11-5.
That's better than evens, isn't it? Derek yes. will tell me. Yeah. I don't know those things. Yeah. I just know matches. I'd take Fulham, but I'd try and get a lineup first.
Yeah, yeah. Team news very important.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. We'll be interested in. Will there be more than 10,000 there? That might be a bet.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. On Wednesday evening, we've got Manchester City versus Blackburn. Manchester City are 1-8. The draw is 7-1. And Blackburn in the betting at 20-1 to win at the Etihad on Wednesday evening. It was 1-1 at Ewood Park. And Manchester City are now unbeaten in their last 15 matches in all competitions. And they've only failed to win at home once in their last 15, and that was that loss to Bayern Munich in the Champions League. Team news is going to be important here, but you know with Manchester City's squad that they can freshen things up quite easily, Ron.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it might even be that they decide to bring Aguero into the squad. You know, it may not start, but he could be on the bench from what we're reading. Touré went off, but that way, I mean, you've got... People like, I don't know if they still live there now, Garcia and Rodwell and people like that, you know, but they've got all those that can come back in. And they've set the stall out to try and win everything, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. That's important,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, they've set the stall out for that. Micah Richards coming back, people like that. The more you look at it, you're just trying to see by what sort of score they'll win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 1-8 is probably the right price.
Going to the game, whether you're the most fervent City fan, born on the Kippax Road end or whatever, 20-1 might tempt you to have a fun bet, mightn't it?
No, it wouldn't, Ron, because, you know, I was looking at... Reading some of the... I'm not fun, no.
You had a humour failure. Yeah, go on.
I was reading some of the comments from the Blackburn players over the weekend after I think they beat Doncaster 1-0, and it's like this game is sort of... This cup game, it's getting in the way of their preparations for the Forest game on Saturday. They're saying, well, you know, we know we're not going... You know, it's basically... It's a write-off, this game. All that's important is Forest, you know, because they're the big playoff rivals or big promotion rivals. So if you're going to Manchester City in a fantastic frame of mind, you're going to get beaten. If you're going in that frame of mind, you're going to get soundly beaten.
Yeah, but that's all talk. When they get there, they'll want to play.
Well, they will want. All right, they probably will, Ron. But even so,
you know, chance to become instant heroes.
Yeah, but come on, it ain't going to happen, is it? How many?
I wouldn't have thought so, but.
City minus 3 goals, 7-4. I like the look of that. I think.
By the way, Derek, did you see? I think there was 6-2 nothings this weekend.
Yeah, and including Robbie's nap, by the way. Tottenham.
I know. I'm on one tonight, and I bet they don't go out.
Yeah, Ron's favourite. David, in case you wonder why he said that, Ron always, it's his favourite scoreline, no matter who's playing, 2-0.
2-0.
Yeah, and he loved it. There was loads of them at the weekend.
Well, City to win 2-0 is 13-2. On Wednesday evening, do you think it'll be as comfortable as Derek thinks, Ron?
I think I don't think it'll be a cakewalk. I mean, I said this 2 weeks ago against Blackburn, you know, against Crystal Palace. Teams with any pride will go there and scrap and battle and contest. But once again, you want to see who he puts up front.
Yeah.
You know, is the other lad fit? Yeah, Jovetovic, is it? Is he fit? Jovic, what's his name?
Jovetic.
I don't think so, no.
See, they might. Will he continue with Negredo and Dzeko?
I think. Do you think it's likely that Dzeko will start, especially if, because when Aguero's fit, he's going to come straight back into the fold, isn't he? And you'd think that Dzeko's the one that's going to make way despite his form at the moment.
Well, you think so? He surprised me. He's better than I mean. I thought he was like when he first came. I said he's like kissing your sister. To be fair, when he first came, but to be fair, he's better than that. I don't know. I mean, he started them off in a lot of games together. You know, he doesn't seem to rest them that much. If they play the two of them, Negredo and Dzeko, I think you're looking at something like a three-goaler.
Yeah, 3-0 to Manchester City in the betting at 11-2. And Derek, just to recap, you like them on the handicap?
Yeah, minus three goals at 7-4. I think this could be any score, you know. I mean, Blackburn have conceded more goals away from home than any of the top half dozen in the championship.
Hey, Derek, there's just one little thing. Who played in goal for Blackburn Saturday? Was it Robinson?
Robinson, yeah.
Two games back, he wouldn't have kept the goals down, didn't he? You know, it's that little bit of extra edge. He's come back from nowhere. He thought he was never going to play again. Just a little thought to throw in, but... if you got any inkling of the lineup, and you have to assume that Man City are going to play a strong lineup, whatever happens, you'd have to go for them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, City 2-0, 13-2, City 3-0, 11-2, and Derek's bet there. City minus 3 on the handicap in the betting at 7-4. Thanks, chaps.
Pleasure, Dave. Pleasure.
Cheers, lads.
See you later.
Thanks a lot. If you want to listen to the punt on Audioboo, you can do. Go to William Hill's page on Audioboo. And, of course, you can download this for iTunes as well. And remember, if you are listening to this on the Monday, if you want to hear the preview of tonight's match between Arsenal and Aston Villa, that's on the weekend's punt with Mr. Lee Phelps. Lee's back for more Premier League action on next weekend's punts. Thanks again to Ron and Derek, and thanks to you for listening to the Punt Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.